Moncrief on News Talk.
D.I. Green, you've been allocated a new partner. He was top of his class and he's just finished a rotation in curfew enforcement. So as rookies go, he's a good get.
He's a he.
And DCI Ferguson's asked for more men to serve after dark.
Fine, whatever. Do me a favour, get hold of that CCTV, will you?
Buckle up.
Yeah. Thank you, Mum.
Didn't have much of a choice, mate.
So it's Eddie, by the way, Eddie Wilson. And I just want to state, for the record, that I've always been a huge supporter of the curfew. I was actually part of the original marches of my friends back in 2021. We bumped our final exams. We got the train to London and we, holy moly.
That's Curfew. You can stream all episodes now on Paramount Plus. James Dempsey is with us once again. Afternoon, James. So, is this kind of dystopian futurey stuff?
Yeah and no. Like it's like Paramount Plus itself. It sort of promises a lot, and then you're kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop and it to actually deliver. So, it is based on a novel named After Dark by Jane Cowie, who is a writer I have not heard of, but a quick Google of her name revealed she writes pulpy, beachy thrillers, I would say. And this is a pulpy, beachy thriller set in the near future in the Republic of Great Britain. So ooh. How Northern Ireland has seceded back into Ireland is never mentioned nor explained. But
no, what they've done with the royal family.
They're out, right?
Yeah, okay. And also, probably living in Northern Ireland, actually.
Maybe, yeah. Right?
The Kingdom of Northern Ireland.
And in addition to that, God, what a horror show. Right, anyway, in addition to that...
Dystopian, I told you.
In addition to that, a law has been enacted in the UK where all men must... receive this kind of collar thing around their not a collar but like a thing around their leg, mm-hmm. And it is a tracker, and at nightfall must return home and stay inside for all of the dark hours of the evening.
Okay.
And may return to daylight. And this measure is enacted in order to reduce femicide and violence against women, although at no point do they ever explore the fact that perhaps locking men, violent men in a home.
In the house, frustrated and angry. Yes.
Right? So it's sort of, so that's the dystopian part, right? Mm. The failure to get off the ground here is how it doesn't really build its world particularly well, right? As in, there are a lot of those questions left unanswered. And the plot revolves around a murder. So in the beginning, in a part of London which has been designated lesbian only, so let's say East London, right? Basically, a woman has turned up dead mere days before a pivotal vote on whether to turn curfew law into absolute exacting law of the land forevermore.
Mm.
And this is upsetting the apple cart of that. Although there's no political side to this in terms of politics, it's a police procedural, because into it comes hard-living detective Pamela Green, played by Sarah Parrish. Now, what I thought I would get here in a show about men being sidelined and women being promoted would be perhaps a slightly different police story. But instead, she is like hard-living, hard-drinking, tough as nails, takes no prisoners, balls to the wall kind of police detective.
So basically a man.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right? And in addition to that, she also has a background story of her own daughter being the last woman to be murdered immediately before the curfew was brought in.
Okay.
Basically, if they then reveal she's 2 days from retirement, we'll have ticked every single box imaginable, right? So she's
one last place,
she's the hard-living detective who is joined by Mitchell Robertson's Eddie, who is a softly spoken young Scottish policeman. He gets special dispensation to be out after dark because he's a policeman. But they begin to solve this crime, right? Mm. Now, there's a bit of a red herring about who the murder victim is for a while, and then there's a sleight of hand reveal of who it is. And there are endless amounts of red herrings for who the culprit might be and why they were done in. But all in 6 episodes, it sort of peaks somewhere in the middle with this quite interesting backward-looking episode, right? So it looks very briefly into the background, and we get a sense of what this world actually is like. So, for instance, it explores a world in which pornography no longer exists, but yet there's an underground circuit of women being in control of the pornographic market. That's a kind of interesting idea,
okay,
right?
Yeah.
Then there's also a kind of, let's say, Andrew Tatey figure who is recording, masochistic, well, misogynistic rather, maybe masochistic as well, podcasts that young men are turning to in their droves as they begin to reckon with their identity as quote unquote a subclass species, right, within this framework. All of that is kind of interesting, but that's one episode, right? Yeah. There's another five episodes of the most boring, navel-gazing, it's not even navel-gazing. You might as well pick your navel, right? That would be more interesting, right? Whodunit story mixed with a smidge of gender politics and gender identity. But it never really gets off the ground in a satisfying nor intriguing kind of way, which is a bit like Paramount Plus in general.
Yeah. It's an odd kind of conceit in... Yeah, if you're going to deal with violence against women, so you create this future where men are kind of an oppressed minority, that's not really the way you deal with it, really, unless you're doing a complete flip. But even from your description, it's not a complete flip.
No, yeah. It doesn't fully get to grips with what it's trying to say.
Yeah.
And the things that it does get to grips with aren't interesting enough to sustain it by itself.
Yeah.
So all in, a bit of a mess.
Yeah. Okay, our next show is called Heartstopper. You can stream new episodes. This is season 3 of Heartstopper, I should say. You can stream new episodes right now. Here's a clip.
You okay? You seem kind of stressed out.
I want to tell Nick that I love him.
Charlie, you're already dating him.
Yeah, I know, but I want to say the words I love you. You know I get stressed out at this stuff.
Oh yes, I am very aware. Well, why don't you just sit here staring at him all day instead then?
I'm not staring.
Haven't you already seen him shirtless in the changing rooms?
Yeah, this is an entirely different context.
Right. I don't really get the appeal.
What, with anyone?
No, not really.
You've never seen someone really attractive and just felt like butterflies?
No. You think I'm immune?
Do you think that's like... Do you think you're asexual then?
Probably. Probably aromantic, too.
I don't really know what that is.
That's all right. You can Google it later.
Right, and I should say that's obviously on Netflix. So, season 3 usually implies a bit of popularity.
Well, particularly now, right? So we're going through this period where originally Netflix gave everything kind of 2 seasons, right? Mm. And now it very famously gives things 1 season. And unless they have any kind of immediate cultural cachet or ratings cachet, they are gone.
Like,
right?
Chaos.
Like Chaos gone.
Yeah.
Right? Amongst other things. But last week's mention, nobody wants this. People apparently do want that.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So, because that's got a season 2 just announced. So All In, this is a bizarre little show. It is based on a graphic novel written by Alice Oseman, and their story is about these two British schoolboys, Nick the hunk and Joe the twink, who meet in a classroom and fall in love in what can only be described as like the most chaste romance imaginable. I mean, the kind of the byword of the, like, their kind of meet cute is prefaced on saying hi to each other, and boy do they say hi a lot.
Yeah.
And like, that's about it. So if Euphoria is, you know, the OnlyFans, this is like CBeebies, right? Yeah, like, yeah. Sometimes when I'm watching it, I'm going like, this is, it feels like it's made by like an advocacy group trying to portray what being gay is.
Now, yeah.
I am looking at it through jaded eyes, right? If I was 14 again and watching the show, would it speak to me much better because I'd be seeing myself on screen? Maybe, right?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
The reality is Netflix isn't keeping it alive because 14-year-olds are watching it, because 14-year-olds, they don't pay the Netflix bill, right? So this is a global hit, definitely. And the first 2 seasons...
I wonder, his parents are watching it going, oh, that's so cute.
Perhaps. Yeah. Definitely it's adults watching it going, this is so cute, right? But like, this is, like, if this show were about straight people, this would be the most boring show. Right? Like, the thing is, so the two main characters have grown a lot in terms of their ability to act, right? And I think they will be future stars, both of them. So they are Kit Connor playing Nick and Joe Locke playing Charlie. Joe Locke currently also co-starring in Agatha All Along, right? So, I mean, their agents are eyeing up project, you know, the future projects. And I suspect there's one season left of this to come. There's a sixth edition of Heartstopper, the graphic novel, to come out. And that will be the fuel of the final season. But all in, like, my main problem with the show is all of the other characters are so poorly fleshed out, right? So we have this very cutesy, nothing happens romance between Nick and Charlie, I should say. But everyone else seems to be just fulfilling a gay archetype, right? So, like, there's a trans one, there's a non-binary one, there's an aromantic asexual one who just carries a book and complains about everything. But, like, that is all there is to those characters. Yeah. There is nothing more to them than that. What I will say is season three was a huge narrative leap forward, because my criticism the whole time of the show has been it is too safely, softy, nothing happens, right? Hi, hug, bye-bye. Right? That's it. This time around, they feel like more real teenagers. They drink at a party, right? There is actually the ramifications of an ongoing storyline that I won't talk about because it is a spoiler, but it actually is messy for once, right? Mm. Because my whole, like, you know, when complaining about this show to other gay men, which is what a lot of gay men do, what my main complaint has always been, like, these children act like they're adults who go to therapy, right? Their reaction to every problem is, let's immediately discuss this.
Yeah.
Right? And, like, I don't know an adult who does that. And I know lots of teenagers because I'm a teacher. And let me tell you, they don't do that. They don't recognize their problems and immediately engage in self-sustaining, nourishing debate and commentary about it. they bully each other online.
Yeah.
Like normal teenagers do, right? So I just wanted it to be a messier show. And three seasons in, it got a bit stinkier, got a bit messier, it got a bit dirtier, and I liked that more of it. Now, Olivia Colman, who's the big stunt casting of seasons one and two, clearly is busier.
Yeah.
She has been replaced by Hayley Atwell, who people will mostly know from the Marvel Universe, which I think is a little in-show joke because one of the characters is constantly talking about Marvel. But all in, if you're looking for something twee and cute, this is it.
Yeah. So it's funny that the kind of restrained love that, like, also explains why, you know, Jane Austen novels are constantly being remade, and that kind of era that, like, whether you're straight or gay, that seems to be having a moment.
Sure,
at the moment,
I guess it's always the potential that something might happen.
Yes, yeah, it's that rather than we're all disappointed when it does. Right, our third show is Lovin' the Country. It's on Mondays at 9:35 on RTE2, and also you can stream it on the RTE player. Here's a clip.
Equine vet Danielle is elbows deep running her own business, which means she works all the hours.
I suppose with work commitments at the moment, it's hard to find the time to meet somebody. So to come into my life, it's going to be a really big commitment for them because obviously my job is 24/7. Some of my friends say that I intimidate guys a little bit. But I'm actually very soft. I'm very soft inside. I'm very caring. I'm just looking for someone who's fun, who's outgoing, who knows what they want.
Danielle's love for animals is a real family affair.
My passion in all of this definitely started with my dad. I'm not going to lie, anyone who does meet me is going to have to pass the daddy test. Dad taught me everything that I know about horses at the moment. How to feed them, how to look after them.
It's 7 days a week and it's 24/7. And you're married to the animals as much as you're married to whoever you're married to.
Right, so this is kind of similar to the previous show, I suppose, in a way. Like, dating shows, is it just people are just switching the location, but it's largely the same thing?
Yes and no, right? So, yes, the obviously each new iteration of some dating show needs like a hook and an angle to sell it. The angle here is, what if they're farmers, right? And this is just there's a BBC format called Farmer Wants a Wife that has sold that has sold to 32 countries around the world, and this is Ireland's version of that. So this is a well-traveled, well-sold format that the original producer of is laughing when looking at his bank account, right? So the gimmick is, what if these farmers were looking for a partner? And the farmers are interpreted as, you know, slightly differently. We have Jer in West Cork looking for a woman. Ollie in Donegal, he's yet to feature. He's a cowboy type guy looking for a woman. We have Breda, who is a comedian and funeral... Not director, funeral kind of person who runs your funeral, who does the funeral for you.
That's a funeral director.
No, not like as in the celebrant.
Let's say
funeral celebrant and a part-time farmer. She's looking for a woman. And Danielle, who is a vet and part-time farmer, she's looking for a man, right? So all in, what I really liked about the show is, unlike other dating shows, it doesn't in any way try to change its participants. Right, as in, there's no, let's give you a makeover, let's teach you how to talk to someone, let's polish you up, let's teach you manners or anything. It's literally, let's just point the camera at you and get you to pick a few people from letters written in, have a few really awkward dates with them, but a few kind of cutesy dates with them, and then whittle them down to two.
Okay.
Then the agricultural person brings that person back to the, brings two of the participants back to their home, and they meet their mother or family or etc. They muck out a stable. They do, you know, whatever farmers do. I don't know, right? And then they potentially, they whittle it down to one, and that's it. Do they fall in love? Who knows, right? We don't seem to revisit season one, which was on last year. What I liked about it was, as I said, nobody is trying to pretend to be anything that they aren't.
Mm.
Now, there is a bit of like, there's this really weird bit where the kind of potential daters are all waiting to go on a speed date with the farmer. And like, it's just like lads being lads and women being women in a way that is so alien to me that I just like don't understand it. I'm like, the kind of banter, which, you know, I'm reluctant to say, is coming out of their mouths in this real kind of showy, offy way. That bit is awkward, but kind of pleasantly awkward, a kind of naff awkwardness to it. But like, I don't know why I'm so taken by this, but I am. It charmed its way. It charmed me as a, you know, in my city centre apartment watching it. I was charmed by the rural life. I was charmed by the kind of earthiness of the participants. I was charmed by Anna Geary being a very game presenter and having an easy charm with them when she's sort of, you know, arranging the dates, and her easy charm with the participants waiting to potentially get dumped on national television. All in, I thought it was charming.
Okay, they're whittling it down, so people, I assume, are being told by someone, sorry, you're not in the picture anymore, you're dumped. But when it gets to the end, you don't know what happens. That's a bit disappointing. Well,
when it gets to the end, they whittle it down to one participant.
Yeah.
And like, ultimately, I don't know if it, you know, what I'm saying is, we haven't revisited season one. I don't know if the love that was potentially found in season one has planted and
but even in this series, there isn't like writing at the end where it's a month later and they're still going out, because, or they both have chlamydia, or, you know, it's something.
Because their dates go across multiple episodes.
Right, okay. Yeah. So maybe at the end of the series.
We might
find out. Right, okay. Those three series are Curfew. You can stream all episodes now on Paramount+. Plus, Heartstopper. You can stream new episodes from season 3 now on Netflix. And Love in the Countries, that's on Mondays at 9:35 on RTE2 and on the RTE Player. James Dempsey, thanks a million.
Thank you.
Moncrief. Weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.